So, it's very nice to be here with you all. I didn't expect so many devotees. It's nice to see you're enthusiastic for Krishna consciousness. That is one of the main things, actually. Simply to be enthusiastic. Rupa Goswami describes the six good qualifications for progressing in Krishna consciousness. Utsahanischaya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat sango tyagat satovrate sadbir bhaktir pranasyati. Enthusiasm, patience, and confidence. And then some other qualities. But first of all, enthusiasm. These things are very... Enthusiasm, patience, confidence, these things are very important for progress. And Srila Prabhupada says that even in material life, if we want to achieve something, be successful in anything, then we have to be enthusiastic. Otherwise, whatever we may try, we're not enthusiastic. We just won't be able to make progress, and it won't be nice. Even, yes, so like that. And then patience. Patience has to be there. This is the material world, so we cannot expect everything will go our way every time. Sometimes there'll be some obstacles and so on. So we have to be ready to tolerate those. But then confidence that Krishna is there, that if we take shelter of him nicely and maintain the proper standards of Krishna consciousness, then even though sometimes it isn't easy, but if we try and do like that, then by his mercy, everything will work out. We've experienced that so much. So let us see now what we'll read. I think just somehow it came to my mind to read this particular verse. Eighth Canto, Chapter 20. Vali Maharaj surrenders the universe. Text 4. Narhya satyat paro dharma iti ho vacha buriya sarvam sodham alam manye rite lika param naran. This is Bali Maharaj speaking. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. On the surface of the earth, there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy, and Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar. It is said that in Kali Yuga, lying is a common affair. Mayaiva vya vaharike. Bhagavatam 12.2.3. Even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speaking so many lies. No one is free from the sinful reactions of speaking lies. Under the circumstances, one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth and indeed the entire universe. Verse again. Nahya satyat paro dharma iti ho vacha buriyam. sarvam sodum alam manye rite lika param naran. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. Chakshunanatam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam yena Bhutale. Swayam Rupa Kadam, I am Dadati Swayam Nanda Krishna. Anchakalpaturubhyas Jakripa Sindhubhya Vacha. Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Yes, so this is a little unusual verse, isn't it? We don't often get verses of this nature, really, in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. But it's a very important point for us in terms of our personal developments and overcoming of our materialistic propensities, getting free from our conditioning like that. Yes, we cannot achieve the goal of life unless we come to the level of not just truth, but absolute truth. I remember when I first visited a temple. It was the temple in London. And I went there sort of late morning or middle of the day, I forget exactly, or maybe something like that. And later in the day, in the evening, I was still there. And I met the temple president who, for those of you who have been to Vrindavan, he's now there, Dhananjaya Prabhu. Very senior Prabhupada disciple now. He's managing the MBT guest house in Vrindavan. So we found out that we were related to each other. And then we were just talking about me, really, what I'm trying to do and what I'm looking for and so on. And I told him, well, actually, all I really want is the truth. He said, well, here, this is the absolute truth. So then, of course, there were various other things also, but that was certainly one thing which made me think, ah, right, I'm in the right place here. This is what we need. So, yes, success in life means to come to the platform of absolute truth. So, if we are still living with lies, we're still living with untruth, how are we going to come to the level of absolute truth? Or to speak of just ordinary truth. Yes. So, even though in one sense it is a secondary point, but still, it is a very important point, and there are some very important applications in Krishna consciousness. Like, to be truthful does not just mean to speak the truth, as opposed to conveniently telling a lie. To be truthful means to follow the truth, isn't it? If you know that the truth is to surrender to Krishna, if you know that clearly enough, which we all know, at least clearly enough. But then, if we choose to act in some mundane way, deviate, and just get involved in some nonsense activity, then, even though perhaps under certain circumstances, or you might say normal circumstances, they wouldn't be regarded as being exactly untruthful. It's a little different from that. Well, of course it's not good, but normally we, when we talk about truthfulness or lying, it's more in terms of what we say. But here we can see, if we think about it a little more deeply, we'll see that in Krishna consciousness, from that perspective, then more things are included, and this is one. That if you know the truth, but then you do something else, then you're being dishonest. And this dishonesty, from the statement it appears, actually it's a very serious defect. It's not just some small thing. Tell the truth to one person, lie to another. Srila Prabhupada talked about this, that this is not a very good program. Yes. So as devotees, well, actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would say that the hallmark, the characteristic, like the special outstanding characteristic, which is the stamp of how you can see this is a devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, the devotee is a perfect gentleman or gentlewoman, gentle lady. Yes. Not just some chancer. Laugher. Yes, we are trying to present, well, we're trying to present the absolute truth, of course, and distribute it. But if the people find, and of course we're also, part of doing that is pointing out what is not like that. That materialistic activity, sense gratification, sinful activity, and so on. We have to point out that these things are no good. We must reject these things. But if then, after all that has been said, if we enthusiastically speaking, yes, you must become purified, you must get out of Maya, but then if the people find that we ourselves are doing some nonsense, particularly something like this, then they'll think, then what is this Krishna consciousness? It has no value. We don't need to bother with it because it doesn't produce anything of value, meaning people. Actually, you know, once I was on, what was it? A train or a plane? I think it was, anyway, one of the two in India. And some youngish Indian business type man was there in a suit and tie, sitting right next to me. And he was sort of in, maybe not 40 years old, maybe in his late 30s. So we started talking. And he was saying that, you know, Indian people, well, and he was an Indian, as in an Indian. He said, they lie so much. They lie so much. Cheat so much. And I was standing up for the Indian people. I was saying that, well, you know, certain defects are there, of course, but at least they know about Krishna. I said, actually, at least many of them are vegetarian. Yeah. He said, that doesn't matter. He said, that's not important. I tried to explain to him that killing the animals and so on is really not good. But his idea was, that's not important. But this lying and cheating, this is very bad. Yes, so, you know, I think many people, if they find that we or some of us lie and cheat, the meat-eating thing, you know, that they may not get, but this they'll get, and then they'll react negatively. Yes, so it is part of the quest for the absolute truth, that we have to become truthful. There are four principles. principles of irreligion. Well, there are four principles of religion. Who can tell me one, anyone? Mercy. And one of the ladies, tell us a second one. You said mercy, right? Sorry?
Truthfulness.
Yes. Gentlemen, a third.
Cleanliness.
Very good. And Mataji's, the fourth one? Austerity. Very good. Well done. Yes, so truthfulness is there, one of those pillars of religiosity, actually. So we know that in Kali Yuga degenerates, or it just deteriorates everything. And particularly it deteriorates these things. We know in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit was touring his kingdom. And he came across one Sudra man, low-class man. But that man was dressed as a king. And he was attacking a bull and a cow. And the cow was standing there, but the bull, this rascal, demon actually, had already cut off three of the four legs. And the fourth leg was under attack. He was cutting, although it was still there, just there. So, those three legs which had been cut away, they were mercy, cleanliness, and austerity. So, in other words, we understand this as somewhat, what would you say, not allegorical exactly, but just gives some indication of the situation that mercy is reduced or destroyed by meat eating, and cleanliness and austerity, sometimes one is said to be destroyed by intoxication and the other by illicit sex, and sometimes the other. Yeah. So it can be in either case. But mercy is destroyed by animal killing, and then cleanliness and austerity by illicit sex life and intoxication. Yeah. Like that. And then truthfulness is destroyed by gambling. And gambling does not necessarily mean, it's not necessarily restricted to the wild coast, the sugar mill. The sugar mill, closer to home now. Yes. You know, I remember it was 1983, late 1983, our GBC at the time was a devotee named Bhagavan Das. How many of you saw Bhagavan Das? Oh, you did? Okay. So he was our GBC, our leader. Unfortunately, he drifted away from Krishna consciousness after some time. But anyway, there he was, 1983. He was due to come down, but he needed a visa, and somehow they refused or couldn't get a visa in time, something. So, he was going to fly in through the Transkei, which was, you know, a separate country at the time. So it wasn't exactly illegal, it wasn't illegal in fact. It was, not exactly untruthful, although we were pushing it. But then we were looking for some place for him to stay because we thought he couldn't stay in the temple because he didn't have a visa and they might find out because he was prominent. So we went and checked out different places where he could stay and where we could all gather. One place was the Wild Coast. My one and only visit to the place. And I didn't gamble. But we walked in there. In disguise, it was Madhavi Prabhu and I. And, you know, in the entranceway, or the first thing at least you come into is the gambling area with the machines and all that. So we just walked through that fairly big area and plenty of people, and most, I mean, I don't know about all, but it was really a big percentage, were Indian people. And that's not my point exactly, but my point is that amongst them, there were a number of little old aunties with saris on, playing the machine. I mean, not just aunties, but grannies. Really, you know, ladies in their 60s. Oh, yes. And little old ladies sort of, you know, moving around with a little difficulty. Yes. So it's not necessarily, when we say gambling, it's not necessarily in that sort of classic sense, although obviously that's included, but things like mental speculation and useless activities, waste of time activities. We just while our time away by just doing something useless. Play a game of Monopoly. No, you wouldn't do that, but you know, some sort of stupid thing like that. Some stupid type of pastime. These are all considered under the heading of gambling, actually. Yes. So in this way, a person loses truthfulness. People lose their truthfulness through gambling and lying and so on. You know, you've probably heard us tell the story. I'm sure you have, actually. I know I've told it in Phoenix not so long ago. About Subhag Maharaj, you remember that story? And where he lived in Calcutta. Remember that story?
Yes.
You remember that? Subhag Maharaj had just joined the temple in London. He came from India to study, I think, some engineering or something in university in Birmingham. Anyway, after some time he was visiting the temple, he joined and became full-time brahmachari. And after some years, he became a sannyasi. Anyway, he had just joined a few weeks ago, and this is, I think, 72, and Srila Prabhupada came to London. And there was Prabhupada, and then he saw this one Indian boy, brahmachari, living in the temple. So Prabhupada was pleased and called him over. Oh, you're from India, very good. And where are you from? And Subhag Maharaj said, well, I'm from Calcutta. And Prabhupada said, really? I'm also from Calcutta. Very good. And then Prabhupada asked him, which part of Calcutta? And Subhag Maharaj had lived on a street which was right on the boundary between a good area and a bad area. So, Prabhupada asked him where in Calcutta. So, in order to just, you know, make things more socially acceptable, Subhag Maharaj moved himself one street over into the good area and said, you know, I'm from such and such street. And Srila Prabhupada said, I know that street, yes. That's a very nice area. So that evening, Subhag Maharaj told me this personally years ago when we were together in London. That evening, Prabhupada was giving Bhagavad Gita class, and Prabhupada just stared at him and said, you must, in amongst, you know, like this or more, actually, quite a gathering of people there, and looking at him, and said, you must never tell a lie to the spiritual master. And Subhag Maharaj thought, well, he's probably not meaning me, because, you know, there's so many people, he has to look somewhere after all. And then he thought, after all, it was only a small lie. And then Prabhupada was looking at him, and Prabhupada said, even a little white lie. And then Subhag Maharaj realized, wow, Prabhupada had understood. Yeah, you know, either the super soul, or, you know, some body language. You know, like, you know, if there's someone coming, and, you know, there's, say, someone like, where Amrit is, but there's someone coming from that side who, you know, has some connection with Amrit, but maybe he doesn't want to know about that person or something, then you may tell him, you know, watch out, someone's coming. But then what is the tendency? To turn around and look. So then you say, don't look, but such and such is coming. In other words, there's an urge. So, you know, sometimes you may want to tell someone about someone else, but the other someone else is suspicious. So you have to be very careful, because when you tell the person, the tendency is to turn around and look, and then that person will know, if they're sort of tuned in enough. We've had cases like this. Wow. Yeah. Where someone knew that someone was talking about them. For that reason, that, you know, the other person's talking to the other person, and suddenly the person being talked to just looks at them. Anyway, that's sort of by the way. Body language, yes. But the point is the truth. Yes. If we can't become truthful, how are we going to approach the absolute truth? And what have we got to hide? Well, the only things worth hiding, in a certain sense, are our stupidity and like this, and things which come through our stupidity. So we should stop. First, we should stop being stupid. We should stop being stupid. And then, because we have a sense of false ego, we don't want to appear stupid in front of people, therefore we may lie. Come in if you're thin. So it's like that. Truthfulness is very important. We should be truthful people. Because in this Kali Yuga, the mercy is finished. There's no mercy. Even, you know, mercy like some charitable organization. I remember there was, not long ago, there was some outcry. Because one organization, I think it was Red Cross in Germany, they found that of all the donations they received, it was approximately 92% went to administrative costs, which means people's wages, you know, and a few pieces of paper and things like that, but mainly people's wages. So there was a protest, and the Red Cross man chief said that compared to other organizations, as far as we're concerned, we're doing quite well. So why are they in the mercy business? To make money. Yes, not for the sake of the mercy. So mercy is finished. What to speak of the meat eating and cleanliness? Well, that goes without saying. Sometimes, you know, traveling around in the airport really, usually we have to use the bathroom, so you go in there and then you see some person emerging out of one of the toilet cubicles and just walking straight out. It's really so common. It's really so common. And then, you know, maybe then they go and eat something. So cleanliness is, if not unknown, but it's in a sad state of disrepair. Austerity is practically unknown. Only for making money do people get up early. If they get up early, But the last thing which is standing, but it's threatened, severely threatened, is truthfulness. And when that is gone, then Kali Yuga has won, actually. So, we can see that on that level, you know, as part of our mission as devotees, on that level, very important part of our mission is to strengthen whatever little truthfulness is left. And beginning with our own conduct, being truthful to our principles. Yeah. Being truthful to our principles. Following our principles, or as, you know, they say in American slang, walking our talk. Yes. So that's a very, very important thing to do. Very important. So let's work on that. Let's work on our truthfulness. Beginning with maintaining the standards which we all know are there. Yes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I'm stopping because I think our team have to take some little prasad and then we've got to go.
Take it away.
Let's take it away.